Quaker Meeting in Portland, Oregon.
You can find more information about our community at westhillsfriends.org.
As a Quaker community, we encourage everyone to share from their hearts,
especially as it pertains to God's leading in their lives.
These words are shared into a community that values the opportunity to respond and dialogue about what is said.
The responses and dialogue are not included in this recording.
The views expressed in this content are solely those of the original contributor
and do not necessarily speak for the entire West Hills Friends community.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Last week, my social media feed for at least 24 hours was filled with videos and photos of the total solar eclipse. Friends from near and far, some from our very own meeting, traveled to the path of totality and witnessed one of the most spectacular celestial events for us Earth dwellers. 7 years ago, a total solar eclipse passed through the United States, and studies of that event showed that 150 million people witnessed the eclipse live, with many million more watching live on television. The last eclipse broke all records for collective viewership, noting it was the most viewed event in our history. We cannot downplay the anthropological significance of this. Surely, hundreds of millions of human souls beholding such a celestial spectacle together will have impacts on our culture. Another study of Twitter messages during and immediately around the last eclipse created an observable trend. Twitter, normally a social media platform that incites rants and raves, became undeniably more gentle, humble, and reflected the collective awe and wonder millions of us were experiencing in real time. One video of last week's eclipse that impacted me deeply was of a small family positioned on the snow-covered banks of a frozen lake. As the eclipse is just beginning, the video is chaotic with familiar, awe-filled expressions of, "Oh my God!" The camera spinning around, attempting to capture the spectacle of the moment. But just as the black disk of the moon completely covers the sun, the expressions stop. And much like the birds and animals during totality, the humans grow completely silent. I thought for a moment that the audio had been faded out and the meditative music in the background just brought forward. I'm going to show you the video in a moment, but notice the sniffles you hear from the person holding their phone. It is clear to me that once totality had set in, awe-filled silence descended on this family. Sure. Tim, do you mind? Thank you, friend. I hope the audio works. Zoom changed all kinds of things, so let's hope it works.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
What's that thing? You can see a star.
No.
What's that?
Oh my God, it's getting so dark. Oh my God.
Look at this.
Oh
Chills. Anybody else get chills when it got quiet? I love that video. The word eclipse has Greek roots, a term which meant abandonment or a failing. This word hints that not all humans throughout history viewed the spectacle of a total solar eclipse with awe and wonder. For those of us in a post-agrarian society, we may not fully understand the seeming curse or bad omen of the sun being taken away. Scientific development appears to have altered our perception of these events. And yet, despite our understanding of what is happening and its temporary spectacle, scientists note the baffling coincidence of our planet's experience of a solar eclipse. That the moon takes up the exact same amount of space, but just a little bit more than the sun, is, in the words of one scientist, just an absolutely bonkers coincidence. He continues, the sun is 400 times further away from us than the moon is. It's almost exactly 400 times bigger. The Earth will likely reach a point in the future where a total solar eclipse is no longer possible, as the moon is moving about 1 inch away from the Earth each year. One person, noting the absurdity of this moon/Earth/sun arrangement, said, if we had interstellar tourism, surely aliens from another planet would travel to Earth for this seeming anomaly in the cosmos. These events, as we witnessed in the video, have a way of pulling us into stunned wonder. There are, in a sense, hundreds of millions of human hearts experiencing epiphanies, which we, who find ourselves in spiritual communities, are familiar with. On this Sunday, the Christian church reads the story of Jesus' closest followers in the days after his resurrection. Jesus reveals himself to people who should be familiar with him, and they struggle to recognize him. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, we read, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. All of these people who've traveled and lived with Jesus up until this point did not fully understand the scriptures. One of my favorite writers says this about epiphanies, like the one Jesus' disciples experienced after his resurrection. Epiphanies flood us with meaning, with a felt sense of wholeness and holiness of life. Despite the increase of cynicism and the rise of nihilism, our souls have an inborn expectation to have profound experiences of luminosity and the hidden unity of life. The luminous appears as something uncanny and mysterious that gives us a sense of the presence of the divine and awakens a deeply felt intuition of the rightness of the situation or an event. Whether it be solar eclipses or beholding the resurrected Christ, our lives will be blessed with several epiphanies, often initiated by events so remarkable and spectacular that we cannot help but be confronted with the presence of the divine. And as a result, we will awaken to a deeply felt intuition of the rightness of our inner guide's leading. Just like in the video of that family taking in the eclipse, these miraculous, spectacular, awe-inspiring moments often usher us into wordless places, where silence seems to be the only reverent thing to do. Is it too much to hope that hundreds of millions of people's hearts will be changed by such an encounter with the absurdity of an improbable event such as a total solar eclipse? Maybe so. But it seems that our task as followers of the way of truth and light is to allow the epiphanies we each have experienced to continue creating the spaces for these divine reorientations to our shared humanity. And the spectacle of life that begs us to create peace, justice, and liberation for all. Our friend Bethany Lee wrote a poem called Spellbound that I'd like to read now. The trick is to see people past all the forms our masks of fear can take. Practice on dear friends and small babies and complete strangers, then move to those who confuse, irritate, or oppose you. Once you have the knack of seeing the essence at the center of it all, you must only remember to do so, and suddenly, at every moment, the world is filled with light. Those of us who pursue the light of God invite into our lives the possibility of seeing the essence at the center of it all. And when such epiphanies arrive, it comes as a sort of miracle, aha moment that connects many things in our lives together. I trust many of you know such moments. And as Bethany reminds us, perhaps the only task for those of us who call ourselves Christians and Quakers is simply to remember. To remember, to reacquaint ourselves with the profound wisdom of our lives' epiphanies. That may be all we need to be in the presence at every moment of a world filled with light. I offer the following queries not as a prescription for you to follow during your time in silence, but as a simple offering to those who appreciate them as a resource to enter into worship. It is a reminder to me that all of our brains work differently. Please don't feel restricted by these questions. We're creating space now for the Spirit of God, of love and light, to come into each of our stories. We each open ourselves to the endless possibilities in this room for the way God will be present with us. What are the epiphanies you've had in your life? When have things come together or connected in such a way to bring you into a profound sense of a world filled with light? Are you hoping for an epiphany? What remains disconnected or unsettled in your life? How are you actively inviting wonder into your spiritual life?
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We're really happy that so many of you are finding it to be helpful and as a way to stay connected with what's going on with us here at West Hills Friends. If you'd like to stay connected with us in other ways, we have a couple options for you. You can check out our website. It's westhillsfriends.org. There you'll find some more information about who we are as a community. You can also follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook account by just searching for West Hills Friends. You can also follow us on Instagram. We have a Instagram account with the name West Hills Friends. So we hope that you'll get connected with us in other ways. And again, thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast.